straight talk.
Without objection, and the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
The longest government shutdown in U.S. history has come to an end with six House Democrats and eight in the Senate crossing the aisle to make it happen. Ben.
I want to also thank the eight Democrats who fought, who finally did the right thing and voting to end this craziness in this.
Absent from the MDS votes, every single one of Oregon's Democratic lawmakers. This bill locks in devastating cuts to health care and drives up the cost. We sit down with Oregon Congresswoman Maxine Dexter to hear why she voted no and what's ahead. But first, the longest government shutdown in history has caused major disruptions at major airports nationwide.
We're trying to prevent the pressure that we now see building in the
As air traffic controllers miss now a second paycheck.
There's people going through the month without pay and still showing up at the work.
We hear from the leader of the union representing air and traffic controllers. Along at PBX ahead of the busy travel season.
Hopefully everyone can get whatever they need to be for the holidays. Yeah. Hopefully they get paid to help us get there.
Right now on Straight Talk. Hello and welcome to Straight Talk. Thanks for joining us. I'm Stephanie Domerat. Now we're coming out of the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. It has ended, but the impacts continue, including major disruptions to air travel. The FAA has canceled up to 6% of flights at some of the states. The nation's busiest airports to ease strain on air traffic and traffic controllers who were working without a full paycheck now for more than 40 days. This means thousands of canceled flights heading into the busiest travel season of the year. Despite the government reopening, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has made it clear it will take a while to get things back to normal. Joining us now to talk more about air travel and when things could go back to normal is Steph Winder, regional vice president of the air traffic controllers union in NACA. Steph, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get started, I do want to let viewers know that we're recording this Thursday morning. So let's start with the big news. Steph, how are workers feeling with the news that the government is back open?
Very, very relieved that we are going to get paid for the 43 days that we've been working 6 days a week, ten hours a day, and also preparing for another potential shutdown January 31st of 2026 if the issues don't get resolved. We'll be right back where we were yesterday.
So Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has said even with the government reopening, as I mentioned, travelers should still expect disruptions for a while. How long do you think it will take for things to go back to normal?
Well, Stephanie, before we went into the shutdown, we were already critically staffed for 3,800 air certified professional control nationwide. So this delays things even further. So it's really hard to articulate when we'll be able to get out of that because we need to hire and train so that we can have more certified professional controllers and get these facilities.
Do you anticipate in the coming weeks that things will, like you said, you are still critically staffed, but do you think we'll go back to where we saw a couple of months ago as far as travel?
The impacts of the government shutdown are really unknown at this point. It's going to take a few months until our pay and we're made whole and all of the rectified as well as what does that look like for trainees that were coming into this profession is going to impact them and the interest in getting new people on board and trained to be the certified professional controllers.
And we'll talk more about that because of course this is a bigger issue, a bigger problem than just this short term shutdown that we're seeing. I want to ask those specifically with the cuts to the flights, the FAA cut flights this week. Around 6% at the busiest airports. That includes PDX, DX, prioritize safety, and even with the government reopening, those cuts will remain. I wonder from your perspective, do you think that 6% reduction is enough right now to not overload air traffic controllers.
I would say it's something that we did prior to the shutdown, traffic management initiatives. So the are probably a good first step in trying to continue to address the critical staffing that we have nationwide as well as Where will we be at the end of January? Is this just going to happen again? Are we going to go through another shutdown? Miss another paycheck? Until those issues are resolved politically, it's probably a good step.
So let's talk more about the air traffic controllers and then the people who missed just a second paycheck as you mentioned there was also the worst staffing that we've seen since the shutdown began just this week. How are our controllers handling this right now?
Relieved that we're finally going to get paid for the work that we've done for the last 43 days, but for another potential shutdown in January.
So earlier this week, President Trump demanded air traffic controllers who had taken time off return to work. He also called for docking pay for some people who weren't coming to work every day, giving a $10,000 bonus to those who stayed on the job. We heard from Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy that he will be looking into possible consequences to some workers. I wonder what would you want viewers to know about the workers who had to step away from their jobs and what was your reaction when you heard this?
We are professionals and we have shown up through 9/11, through COVID, when people weren't going to work, we were showing up then, just like we did during the government shutdown. We're professionals. We come to work. Our primary mission is safety and the American public, moving cargo, moving passengers, keeping everything safe, and we're gonna continue to do that.
What are you seeing right now in the northwest region at our airports as far as staffing goes?
Like a lot of the facilities nationwide, we've been critically sickly staffed in the northwest mountain region for over a decade, and we've been. Talking about that at every opportunity to try and correct that issue and get more traffic control trainees into our
Are you worried that these last 40 plus days could mean that some controllers just will not return to the job?
Definitely. We had several resignations from certified controllers that have been this for over a decade. We saw several early retirements where controllers decided this was The thing made it too much. This is already an extremely demanding profession where we have to come to work, be prepared 100% of the time. And hear everything, pay attention at every moment. And this shutdown was an unnecessary distraction for that career.
We're heading into the busiest travel season, in which, as you mentioned, this is already such a demanding being profession, but of course the most demanding time of the year for people who work in air travel. And in travel in general, do you feel there are enough safeguards right now in place to keep up with the demand that will be coming over the next six weeks?
I do. Like everyone has seen recently, we have traffic management initiatives that we put into place when things like weather or equipment malfunctions or outages or there are staffing challenges at specific facilities, we slow things down to keep it safe, and that will continue to happen. Regardless of the government being open, the government being closed, we're going to continue to show up so that we can keep the American public safe.
So your union also represents other aviation safety jobs, not just air traffic controllers, but engineers who are actually furloughed because of the government shutdown. How do their roles play a role in the daily operations of airports and what does it mean for your jobs right now?
We need to be professionals, and if there's no money, then the projects that were contracted out, those General contractors, or whoever that is that's performing that work, isn't going to get paid. So they're not going to perform that job, and then they have to rebid that contract because those contractors are able to do something for free. They go and seek other work that they'll get compensated for. And now we have to rebid that contract, and it pushes everything farther down the line.
How do you feel that's going to be now that those jobs will be reopened? They'll be paid again. Do you feel like you'll be able to get those types of jobs back open and fully filled as far as where they were before this?
As far as the interest and passion for those professions, I think that similar to air traffic controllers that we represent, it's always something that when someone is considering going to a profession, they think about it. Is this something that's going to happen? Every few months, every few years, is that a burden? Can I have enough money? I don't know how much money that is. So, professionals think about before the
fashion. I want to speak to that too. Of course, the nationwide shortage of controllers isn't a new thing. We've seen this for years, as you mentioned, in the last 10 years, especially during the pandemic. You know, why do you think there is a shortage, and what do you think needs to be done about it?
It's a very demanding profession. When you sign up, you know that you're going to miss holidays. You're going to have 4 days off a month. So it's difficult to market that to a workforce and say, hey, come to this thing. We love what we do and take pride in our profession. We're definitely working with administrative come up with a path to move forward and get out of this staffing crisis.
What do you think could be done about this, if you could fix something about this, to bring more people into this field, what would you do?
We've already started max hiring. That was in the FAA reauthorization bill in 2024, before that was passed. And the FAA reached their hiring, and it does look like they're going to do that. So that's the first step. Moving forward to resolve this problem.
Something interesting, I think, comes out of this that you mentioned to me before we came on the show. Is that your air traffic controllers have been getting a lot of positive feedback from people and a lot of attention. Can you speak more about that?
Yeah, we've had great community support and industry support. Across the country, and it's been amazing to be noticed and recognized and appreciated for something that a year ago, the average person had no idea how to do air control
travelers just to keep in mind right now, or over the next few weeks as they head to airports or book flights.
We're gonna be home safely. We're gonna get you there. So yeah.
Steph Winder, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back with Straight Talk after this. Welcome back. This week, Congress passed a funding bill to reopen the government after being shut down for more than 40 days. It was the longest shutdown in American history. Now the bill was signed into law by President Donald Trump on Wednesday, staving off another budget battle for a couple of months. Now the bill had support of only eight Senate Democrats and just six Democrats in the House. All but one of the Democratic lawmakers from Oregon and Washington opposed the bill. Including Representative Maxine Dexter. Congressman Dexter joins us now from Washington D.C. to talk more about why she voted no and what's next. Representative Dexter, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie. It's good to see you.
Good to see you as well. First, let's talk about what is and isn't in this bill. The bill that just passed.
Absolutely. What isn't in it is protection for Americans from the lack of affordability, access to health care. There was absolutely nothing done to address the affordability crisis that each American American is feeling right now. Perpetuation for billionaires. It does fund SNAP, and that is done for the year. legislation, and the legislative government, which is important, and the veterans benefits was the toxic exposure fund. $67 billion that was put in for the tax to give relief to people who That was taken out to get a grant with
Why did you vote on spell?
So
your Washington colleague Marie Guzman's camp was one of only a handful of Democrats who broke from their party to pass this bill and reopen the government. In a statement, she quoted the quote, the Republican Party can't afford for their representatives to get so caught up with the problems that are in the nation's faces. Do you feel like Congress was losing sight of the goal and the most important goals to land a bipartisan win?
No, I 100% sentiment. What we were fighting for is a force ability. And Donald Trump unlawfully use SNAP benefits as a cruel pain point for Americans to get them thinking that's what the shutdown did. That contingency fund was
Did you hear from constituents wanting this to just end? What did you hear from people?
We actually just went over in our meeting all the outreach that we had. For some healthcare They just can't afford stop getting sick. If they don't make their children are fed. And what it costs them more into bankruptcy, which is
shouldn't the government should be paying for these subsidies? What would you tell them?
I would say I don't disagree with the inflation of these subsidies, we know that happens when subsidies are being used.
Pinky promise is easy for the break,
and We know that our Senate and House are always the most, we are going to do everything we can do and to hold them to the American people they are going to pay those things in January. They're feeling it.
So one in six of our Oregonians, of course, relies on SNAP benefits. This was a huge talk. Many people had to turn to food banks. It was such a big issue to get support for food during November. Now the shutdown has seemed to highlight really the huge number of people who rely on the government and to help them feed themselves. What was your takeaway from that, and what do you think should be done really to help people more in the long run with this?
Look, food security and housing security should be something that every American knows is their future. There shouldn't be any question about that. The fact that we are a disproportionate utilizer of SNAP benefits, the cost of living is too big. Governments have done to make sure lives are affordable. Or struggling, just to make sure that they can we have a lot of work to do
So we know this is a short-term fix, and Congress must pass another funding package in January. Are you concerned that there could be another shutdown down at that time?
You know this is a We want our communities to be fed and housed, and whether it has been spending the need of Donald Trump or the fourth year of the primary keeps my Republican to be able to table. There people
Epstein. What does that say to you?
Well, it certainly is a great opportunity to work across the aisle in the direction the American people are demanding. Nobody wants their children to have to go through that. And the fact that these men in power is something we all need to demand answers for.
Congresswoman Dexter, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it. And thank you so much for watching. As a reminder, you can stream straight talk on your own schedule. You can download the free TV app, KHWH.